Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country, the place where American patriots come together as one united people. Today is Thursday, March 28th, 2013. Thank you for tuning in tonight and getting involved, caring enough to take some time to listen to what the issues are, to care about your country, to know what's going on, and, you know, just getting involved. We need every American to get involved today, regardless of whatever your position is. If you're an American, a legal American, you need to be involved, you need to be engaged and well-informed, which takes a lot to do. It takes a lot to do to be well-informed on everything that's going on in this country, but you need to be informed and be an active participant. Stand up for what you believe, whatever that may be. We may not agree, but if you actually are informed and you explain why you stand for whatever you do, then you're doing the right thing. And tonight, we're going to focus on the immigration issue. I'm going to get to that. If there's something else you want to talk about tonight, please feel free to call in, and we'll discuss it. The number is 347-857-4364. 7-8-5-7-4-3-6-4. Make sure you press 1 to be placed in the host queue to speak on the air. You can call, people call in and listen from the phone all the time. So if you don't press 1, I will not know you want to speak on the air. So make sure you do that. You can also post some comments in the chat room during the live show. The thing, as we talk about immigration, I think it's important to go back to some things I've said in the past here. What I like to share with people, I just don't think I can say it enough times, and that's the American's Creed, because when we're talking about immigration, we're talking about what it means to be an American, a legal immigrant, an illegal immigrant. So it's important to understand what it is, what we believe in, and then also what the oath of office for the president is, and I should have the oath of office for the senators here. Maybe I'll get it before the end of the show, what these people are sworn to do. Okay, as an American, I strongly believe in the American's Creed, and this was written by William Tyler Page. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed. Please hear that again, consent of the governed. A democracy in a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon those principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. Enemies. Think about who the enemy can be. The enemies from within, as well as Al-Qaeda and the enemies abroad. All enemies. And notice the way it talks about a democracy in a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states. Do you feel like your state's sovereign these days? I don't think Florida is. When we talk about education and stuff, the things that the states have done, how the states have sacrificed their sovereignty, surrendered their sovereignty to a federal government, it's amazing. This was written in 1917, and it was accepted by the United States House of Representatives on April 3rd of 1918. And you can go out to ushistory.org to get a copy of it, or just do a search on the American's Creed. But this is what it's about. This is who we are. This is what America is supposed to be about. A perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon the principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity, for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. Many, many Americans have sacrificed their lives and fortunes for our freedom. And we owe them as well as to ourselves, to our family, and our fellow citizens to protect this Constitution. Right now, our Constitution has been trashed so badly. The immigration issue is one piece of it, but it's definitely not all of it. And if Americans don't stand up and do, again, whose powers of the government, whose powers are derived from the consent of the governed. We have a totally out-of-control government. We have a totally tyrannical government that trashes our Constitution and trashes everything this country stands for. And speaking of which, the oath of office for the president, U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 1, before he enter on the execution of his office, he shall take the following oath or affirmation. Here's what the president swears to, very similar to the others, not quite the same, but similar. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will do the best of my ability to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. It's that key line there. And will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Now, the ones for the senators are very similar, and if I can find my copy of it, I will mention that one, too, before the night is over, because they are sworn to uphold the Constitution, yet every day they seem to trash it. Trash it in every which way you can imagine. Just so you know, on Thursday, next Thursday, we're going to have a special show on Common Core, which is the ultimate example of the destruction of this country, the destruction of the Constitution, destruction of everything we believe in. Common Core is how the progressives have seized control of the population. They are indoctrinating the children. They are manipulating the educational system, which this is all part of the grand plan. It's all part of it. Excuse me. And you've got to see what they're trying to teach the kids, how they are trying to totally trash the United States of America and take it down, and how they're doing this through the public school system. So and the other part of this, which goes back to what I was talking about in that American's Creed, this is allowed to be done because states give up their sovereignty to the federal government with their hand out. States have got to stop going to the federal government for things that is not the job of the federal government. Education is not the job of the federal government. And I'll tell you, I don't know whether you like Rand Paul or not, but he's the one who's out there saying, shut down the Department of Education. How many people on Capitol Hill do you know that are saying, shut down the Department of Education? The billions of dollars of wasted tax revenues, plus it's an indoctrination program. It's not about education. It's indoctrination. And we need to get rid of them. So promote that with any of your senators and representatives for those who will listen. Go out there and make sure you hit the message. We need to end the department. The Federal Department of Education needs to go away and needs to be a state issue. And we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of that next Thursday, talking about Common Core. So if you get a chance, go out there and look up Common Core, see what it is. Also look up CSCO because it's similar. It's how they brainwash and take down a society through the youth. And that's what they want to do here, and that's what they're doing. They are literally doing it right now, and there's been bills in Tallahassee, and I was trying to get some kind of confirmation of where any bills in Tallahassee, Florida were on Common Core, but there's a big push because they make it sound so wonderful. They mislead you in so many ways. But again, we'll talk about that in detail next Thursday. Just please be getting involved and learn what that is and start fighting that battle, because that's another one. And let's see, what else? Doreen Taft, she is Ms. Texas, as we call her on the show here, or Damn Mad Granny Taft. She hasn't been on the show the last couple of weeks. I know she was having some medical procedure done, and I hope she's doing okay. I just want to let her know that we're thinking about her. And I have been keeping her in my prayers, so I hope she's able to join us again soon. We need her lively personality out there telling us what's going on in Texas and how crazy, even though, you know, don't mess with Texas, but, you know, they do some pretty strange things out there in Texas, too. That's why they have a governor named Rick Perry. Okay, let's see. Like I say, the main focus of tonight is talking about immigration and who's doing what with it, what it means. So when we talk about immigration, and you hear it all the time when we discuss immigration, Americans are all immigrants. That's right, we are. That's what America, you know, with the exception of the Native Americans, the Indians who were truly here to begin with, the rest of us came here from someplace else. We are immigrants. That's not the problem. Immigration by itself is not the problem, or the need for it or the desire for it, whatever. Legal immigration may need some reforming, and that's another story. But we have, once you say immigration, people come here from all over the place, fine. And that's why we shouldn't be separating different groups, different factions out by where they come from, because Americans come from all over the place. Being an American means you came from someplace else. I mean, that really is, your heritage is someplace else. So there's no reason to be separating people out by Italian Americans or Canadian Americans or Mexican Americans or Russian Americans, German Americans, Cuban Americans, whatever, you know. If you're an American, be an American. Drop all the dual nationality stuff. Be an American and nothing else. And that means you came from someplace else or your heritage, whatever. So that's what, you know, when it comes to immigration, who you are. Legal immigration means you came in the door legally. You applied for a visa or whatever, you know, citizenship, whatever. You came in the legal way. And that's not a problem either. Now, again, that's not to say the immigration policy we have, maybe it does need to be reformed, but I really can't tell because it's been so long since we've enforced immigration laws and policies. Who would know if immigration actually works? Current immigration is no immigration. It's all superficial. Sign off on the H-1B visas every year and do these kind of crazy things, whatever might happen to make somebody happy, some special interest happy, whatever they're doing to support their special interest, not necessarily the country, to have people to legally come into the country. But that's not all there is to immigration. So that by itself is a farce. So not that the policy is. I mean, the truth is, I really couldn't dictate or tell you all the specifics of coming immigrating to the United States. To come in as a guest worker on a visa, short-term visa, whatever it may be, an exchange student kind of thing, those types of things, which are, they're visitors, they're not truly immigration, they're visitors, temporary status, none of that gets enforced properly, none of that's managed properly, because we know about the overstays and things like that. So there's a many, many questions to ask about that part of people traveling here. And then we talk about people who actually apply to become citizens here and that process of actually wanting to immigrate and become an American citizen. That's another piece of it. And I would definitely not be the person who could give you the ins and outs and details of what that whole process is. But and maybe it needs to be proved or improved. But right now we know there's no enforcement of any immigration. That part's all over the place. Anybody thinks there's enforcement of immigration policies or laws must be drinking Kool-Aid or something, because that's not being done. And then we talk about illegal immigration. And most people think illegal immigration, the very first thing they think about is the southern border, which that's definitely part of it, but that's not all of it. And I really can't tell you what part or what portion of it is from the southern border. I think it's a substantial part of it, but I don't know the volume or the quantity. I can't go and tell you, out of all the illegal immigrants here in the States today, I can't go out there and make a statement that 50% of them came in from the southern border or whatever, or 25% came from the northern border. You know, I don't know those percentages. We know a lot of them do come in over the southern border because they catch it on camera all the time. I really don't see, and maybe somebody can help us out, the cameras on the northern border. How many people truly come in through the northern border? It's a totally different environment. It's just not the same situation up there. But I'm sure there are some who come in illegally over the northern border too. But we do have a lot there. But the other aspect, which very rarely gets really discussed the way it should, is the people who come in the door legally as with a green card or some kind of an H-1B visa status, temporary student exchange, foreign student exchange kind of thing, the legal reasons they came into the country, but then they never leave. So what percentage of those did we welcome in? We opened the door and said, come on in, but then they never left. And they too are illegal. Illegal means you are here without proper authorization. So that means you either came in on the board, over the border on your own, free will, against the rules, or we let you in and then you never left. And we didn't bother to do anything about that either. So there's massive issues when it comes to legal and illegal immigration. And I don't, so when I talk about illegal immigration, I am talking about the whole mess as it is together, not strictly the aspect of those from the southern border. And when we talk about that too, and because, again, so much emphasis is put on the southern border when we talk about illegal immigration, at some point, maybe tonight, you know, I want to talk a little bit too about the illegal immigrants versus the Hispanic community. This is because of the politics, the games that go on with these nutcases that are in public office today. The people who, you know, again, 300 million people versus the 545 in Washington, D.C., who don't do their job and who have created the mess that we're in. Being, they play the game, and this isn't doing what's right for the country. The whole point is, what do you do? How do you take care of immigration for the United States of America, have it be a policy that's proper, that's good, that it promotes what we want as Americans, what promotes our economy, what helps us as a country to grow the way we want to, these kind of things. What's the true answer to that, excuse me, versus all the political games these people play in these parties, all because they're trying to get reelected, and that's all it is. They're not listening to the, you know, when it comes to immigration, they're not listening to the people. All they truly have to do when it comes to immigration, on the next, well, we can say the presidential election, but truly it should be on probably the next Senate, I should say the two-year, the 2014, which has senators and representatives in it too, but it doesn't have the presidency in it. We should put out there on the ballot immigration. Do you want amnesty for all illegal immigrants, yes or no? And, you know, some things out there to actually find out what the people, the American people, and though, do you believe people should be legally voting? That's another story, too. What do we want as a nation for immigration? Because what they're doing right now, they're selling us up the creek to whoever, whatever political interest. Very, very few on Capitol Hill truly are the statesmen, stateswomen. That's why we're called American statesmen here. We're looking for some true statesmen out there who will do the people's business, the work for the people, without going out there trying to self-serve and get wealthy. Most of them get extremely wealthy off of what they do to us. The damage they cause to us, they are getting rich and wealthy off of, because that's all they care about. Excuse me, they are not focused on the future of this country. We have too many antis in public office today. We have too many progressives. And a progressive, liberal progressive, whatever you want to call it, these are the socialists, whether you want to call them communists, socialists, whatever, who do not believe that the individual has the right to own property, do not believe we have the right to be free people, do not believe we have the right to bear arms, do not believe we have the right to free speech, do not believe we have the right to own a house or a car. These are liberal progressives that think there's only a couple of people who are the masters, and the rest of us are the peasants and the serfs and whatever, and we have to be told, just like Bloomberg. Bloomberg thinks he's the master who has to tell the rest of us how to behave, and that he knows better, so he's going to dictate how we behave and what we're allowed to do and what we're allowed to own. These are the progressives, and these progressives are anti. I mean, they're anti-Americans. That's all there is to it. They they don't believe in what America, they don't believe in that American's creed. The American's creed means nothing to them. They do not believe in what this country is, and they're taking it down. 300 million versus 545, but then you have these billionaires, you know, like Bloomberg, who are out there, they've decided who they're supposed to be, and you have Bill Gates. It's amazing what happens when people, the same country that allowed them to prosper, to have this wealth, has somehow made them think they have the right to trash the rest of us, that they have the right to control and dictate to the rest of us. And it was this country that allowed them to have the wealth that they have had. It's really unbelievable when you think about that's what it is. And when we talk about immigration, Bill Gates is a big one on this. He wants all those H-1B visas because he doesn't want to. He claims Americans are too stupid, don't know how to do the jobs, and that's why they have to bring in the H-1B visas. And if they don't bring in more foreign workers, he's going to take his business out elsewhere, outsourcing and those kind of things. That's the kind of person Bill Gates is. If I would have ever known as much about Bill Gates back then when he was first coming up with his Microsoft, I think we would have shut down Microsoft a long time ago. But now it's so ingrained all across the country, it's hard to totally take down and trash Microsoft. But anyway, the evilness of Bill Gates. The thing that's going on right now with immigration, and I just was trying to stress the point that legal Hispanics believe in legal immigration. They don't think it's right to just go out there and with the exception of a Marco Rubio, who is an anti as far as I'm concerned. He's very much an anti. Who did everything the way they were supposed to, who came in through the process. Being an American is something special. It's not something you hand out to everybody, especially when you don't know what they truly believe and if they are truly loyal to this country. You just don't keep giving out, letting in the enemy. No border security means whether it be those who legitimately want to come in to do work, strictly for the purpose of being here to do work, versus those who are associated with Al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations, or those who just want to do traffic and illegal drugs. You know, there's many reasons why you can't just have the border wide open. But illegal immigration, those who came in the front door the way they were supposed to and followed all the rules do not promote illegal immigration. This nonsense of calling them undocumented. Undocumented means they're illegal. They're illegal. If they were here legally, they'd be documented. It's really the same thing. But it's a way the progressives want to try to thin down the American culture and take it down. How can we erode the society beyond any recognition? How can we take away the freedoms and the liberty of these people? Immigration, illegal immigration is one of them, through the immigration policies. So that's what this is all about. In this, we have this idiotic Gang of Eight. I'm telling you, these people, I'm going to list their names so that everybody knows who the Gang of Eight is, in case you didn't actually know them. For the most part, as you're watching TV, when they talk about the Gang of Eight, you'll see Marco Rubio, John McCain, and Lindsey Graham. Those are the ones you see out front as the Gang of Eight. But it also includes Chuck Schumer, Dick Durham, Michael Bennett, Bob Menendez, God, I can't even say that. Did I type it wrong? Jeff Flake. These are the guys, Menendez, there we go, I can say it. These senators are the ones who are the Gang of Eight, and it was Marco Rubio here from Florida, my guy Marco. He's the one who came up with this thing to begin with, and John McCain and Lindsey Graham have been the most vocal in front of the cameras talking about it. And now they're getting ready, you know, they're going on recess and all this other crap is going on right now. But the Gang of Eight is trying to finalize their amnesty bill, because that's what it is. It's amnesty. Not only is it an amnesty bill, it is also a national ID card. I got an email just recently on this from the Campaign for Liberty. It was a Ron Paul notice warning us that the villains are at it again. And let's see here. And, of course, we all knew that they were going to be at it again. That's no surprise there. But the whole point is what they're trying to do is the in this immigration reform, as they call it, comprehensive immigration reform. Right now, freedom-stealing statistics Senator John McCain and Senator Chuck Schumer, banding together with members of both parties, are scheming to sneak a massive power grab into the new immigration reform bill. Okay, it's a biometric ID card for every American. And in fact, when asked recently if he favored a super social, super social security card that would have some sort of biometric thing like a fingerprint, John McCain said, "I am for it." John McCain is one of the biggest disappointments to me of anything. I mean, here he's a POW who definitely put his life on the line and suffered for this country. And then he used to be a very much a fiscal conservative, and that kind of thing. He used to be a conservative, but he's a progressive. He truly is a progressive. And it just amazes me because I really used to like him. I used to think he was called this maverick and he would stand up for what was right and all this other stuff. He's gone to the dark side and he went so badly, so fast, whatever. But on this include biometric identification information such as fingerprints, retinal scans of veins on the back of hands, which could easily be used for tracking device. All sorts of things to do with this national ID. And you can go out, and I have the link in the show page. Go out there and sign the petition for no national ID card. So while they're trying to slip this in there as part of immigration, we need to make sure that we let them know that part isn't acceptable. And, of course, amnesty isn't acceptable either. Allowing our government to have this much prying power in our lives is ultimately the result of a total loss of freedom. And that's it. People got to understand what this all means. This, you know, so many people just think, well, this couldn't happen. No, it's never going to happen here. But it does. They gnaw away and gnaw away at your liberty and your freedoms until you have none left. And look at how many we don't have now. That Patriot Act was a major, major deal. And here they're trying to take away the Second Amendment. There are so many aspects of what they've done with education, trying to censor public discussion and also reading materials, the press, publications and things. It's unbelievable how this is all happening. And but they're doing this through immigration. You see, here we go. You see, once well-meaning government bureaucrats know exactly how we live our lives, it won't be long until they try to run them. Well, that's true. Why do they care? Why do they need to know these things? They don't. They don't. They use their excuse. It's for national security. It's for public safety. They use these excuses all the time as a way to brainwash people into doing this. It's absolutely despicable, and it's anti-American. John McCain, you are anti-American. And I will say that to your face if you would ever let me. And the same with you, Lindsey Graham, anti-American. You know, both John McCain and Lindsey Graham have been doing a lot of push on the Benghazi thing, which is good. I totally am happy that they have been pushing for the truth on that one. I wish they would do more pro-American things than what they do. So I will give them credit for that, but when it comes to this other stuff, they are totally anti-Americans, anti-Constitution, anti-Americans, anti-national security. They're disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Okay, and then, it goes in. Once that door opens, how long before the statistics start telling us what we can teach our children? That's what we're going to talk about next week, because that's exactly what they're doing. Or where we can go to church. Look what's happened to Christianity in this country. You can't condemn any other faith, but Christianity has gotten trashed. People writing Jesus and stomping on it on the floor and everything else. What they're doing to religion, or what God will allow to worship. When are they going to tell us what God we can worship and that we can't believe in Christ or something? I mean, it's one thing leads to another, people. It's one thing that leads to another. You cannot You can't, you know, this isn't the kind of stuff you would think would be part of immigration, but a national ID card. They're using immigration as an excuse for a national ID card, which will get into every other aspect of your life. It's wrong. It's totally, totally wrong. You know, when they first issued a Social Security card, you were not allowed to use it for identification. Now they use that. They want to have the super Social Security card. They want to have your DNA on here. They want to have everything about you. And they're in the claims of something to do with immigration. And, you know, it was Ben Franklin, I believe it was, who said, if you give up your liberty for security, you will have neither. And that's where, and this is where the progressives like John McCain and Lindsey Graham and Marco Rubio, this is, they go out there and they brainwash you into saying this is what you need to do for security. They use it as a security issue all the time. And this is their, and this is part of the process. So let's see what else is on here. This is a Campaign for Liberty letter that came out that I'm reading off of in case you want to know. And let's see. They're hoping that after months of big media mouthpieces decrying that the poisonous and partisan politics in Washington, the American people will jump for joy at the sight of a Democrat from liberal New York and a Republican from a conservative Arizona working together to solve our immigration mess. Yeah, I mean, John, you got two senators from Arizona, Jeff Flake and John McCain. Jeff Flake used to be a conservative, too, and maybe he still is on some of the fiscal stuff. But to be part of any kind of amnesty, they are not conservatives. They are not. They're progressives. And we've said it plenty of times on here, but I think it's kind of interesting. Glenn Beck's been saying it more and more lately that there is only one party. And I may actually have a show called RNC plus DNC equals Progressive USA, because that's what it is. The RNC plus the DNC equals Progressive USA. There is no difference in these parties, people. And, you know, Ann Coulter can say what she wants to out there. She's very much anti-amnesty. So she'll be, I'm sure, quite vocal about this, which I'm quite happy for. But she keeps thinking the GOP is some solution. No, Anne, the GOP is not the solution. The GOP is just part of the RNC is just part of the DNC. It's all part of the same thing. So anyway, there is a website out there. Go out to No National ID Card and click on the petition and sign it. I'm about to do it. I just opened this up before I got on the show today, so I will be going out there and signing my petition right after the show, and because we have to stop it. And you also, we have different numbers. In fact, I was going to tell you to call John McCain. His Washington office number is 202-224-2235. That's John McCain, Senator McCain, 202-224-2235. And Senator Jeff Flake, both from Arizona, 202-224-4521, 202-224-4521. And, you know, with these two individuals, you really got to, you just can't, the hypocrisy of these people. Here, they are from Arizona, which has been one of the states really hit badly with the illegal immigration. Not only that there's no security on that border, but these people are attacking and raping and killing people along the borders, too. And these two people from the same state don't even care about their own state. The hypocrisy. I don't know what it would be like if I actually was a resident of Arizona dealing with these two. Then we'll talk about Marco Rubio in a minute. Let's see. Excuse me. Let's see if there's any other notes on here that, okay. Let's see. Banding together. Yep. The main thing is knowing immigration, their illegal, supposedly immigration reform will end up being a de facto amnesty blatant amnesty. And then there's also the tying in the national ID card. Now, from what I've been able to see, the final bill isn't out there yet. They're supposed to be introducing this legislation. It's expected the week of April 8th. So make sure you note that. and keep an eye for when they first open it out there, put it out there. But they're going to do their best to ram it through as fast as possible, trying to not let the people have any time to see what it says, see what it does. This is because these are antis, anti-Americans who don't believe in the process, and they don't believe in the consent of the governed. As I was saying earlier when we talked about the American creed, we are supposed to be a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose powers are derived from the consent of the governed. But these people up in the 545 up on the hill, they think that they are the masters and we're the peasants. They were totally confused who works for who. And the sad fact is, because of the way the 300 million Americans have sat on the sidelines for so long, they've been allowed to get away with it. But they need to be reminded who they work for. And we cannot support anybody who promotes illegal immigration and amnesty, which some will say, talk about the Rand Paul piece of it, comparing Rand Paul's immigration plan versus the Gang of Eight. The Gang of Eight is pretty much just an out-and-out amnesty to it. And like I said, a national ID card. This national ID card is a very, very big issue here. The other piece of this is when we go to, let me get here, hold on 1 second while I'm looking at this. Okay, we have the other piece of this, Marco Rubio, and it was Senator Rubio from Florida. He boasts a lot about his Cuban heritage, which is fine. Both of his parents fled Cuba before Castro really came in. They were not Americans when Rubio was born, so that's why Rubio is not eligible for the presidency. And at the same time, the GOP, the RNC, keeps propping up Rubio as some genius for their party, when in fact he's very anti-American. He's definitely pro-illegal. He's pro-Hispanic. He's pro-Latinos. He's anti-American. But he was never a Tea Partier. Just Tea Partiers in Florida saw a pretty face and never once checked out what he did. Never once checked out that Marco Rubio, while he was Speaker of the Florida House, blocked 11 immigration bills. That's what he did as Speaker of the House in Florida. He is pro-Hispanic, pro-Latino, pro-Cubans, whatever you want to call it. He's pro the illegals. He's anti-American. He refers to himself more as a Latino than he does an American. Oh, yeah, he was up there in CPAC saying something about America. But what else is he going to say? What else is he going to say up there? His actions speak much louder than his few words. What he did as Speaker of the Florida House shows you he is anti-American. He's pro-illegal. And that's a fact. And the other part, which just came out, speaking of Rubio, let me read some information here. This just came out. Rubio hires immigration lawyer who imports workers for companies. And this was dated March 21st. So this is just hitting. I've got a couple of articles, I think, referencing it. Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio's top lawyer in the closed-door effort, to draft a new immigration bill is a Democratic donor who earns his living by bringing foreign workers into the country on behalf of corporations and universities. So Marco Rubio, I don't really care. Like I said, it says Democrat. It doesn't matter. They're all the same. Marco Rubio is a progressive. He's part of the RNC and the DNC equals progressive. They're all the same. Parties mean nothing. So he goes to a person who, for a living, bypasses or plays games with the immigration law to bring in foreign workers into the country. And bringing in foreign workers isn't a problem, doing it the legal way. But it's those who are coming in legally who don't leave. This is the de facto illegal immigration that's going on through the front door. And so anyway, so he's working with somebody who specializes in bringing people into the country. Okay? bringing in, and as it says here, he who earns his living by bringing foreign workers into the country on behalf of corporations and universities. So we're saying the U.S. corporations don't think that Americans are smart enough to do the job, or the universities don't think they're smart enough to do the job. You have to kind of wonder there. You wonder who's driving the discussion here. Who's driving immigration, I should say. And then, let's see, Lawyer Gonzalez is the guy's name. Lawyer Gonzalez is a partner at the nation's largest immigration firm, whose future depends on the outcome of Gonzalez's closed-door work. Rubio hired Gonzalez in January when he was a partner at the Coral Gables, Florida, office of Fragman, Del Rey, Benson, and Laurie. Okay. Gonzalez's LinkedIn profile describes his skills and expertise as immigrant law, H-1B visa, naturalization, citizenship appeals, and international law visas. Okay, so, you know, again, Rubio is brings in someone who's a master of bringing people into the country and how to finagle the system that way. Okay, we assist companies with all types of business immigration services, including a particular focus on corporate compliance issues. This is I-95 and E-Verify, exchange visa programs, H-2B visas. Anyway, you can see, and our vibrant individual practice encompasses investors, artists, entertainers, and athletes, as well as a broad range of family immigration matters, the firm said. Okay, Gonzalez cut his ties from the firm when he left in January. Okay. Partnership that was a clean break, he said. Okay, I'm not sure what that all means, but okay. And then there's a link in here to another article, which if I have time, I'll go to it. Are some companies discriminating against American workers? Well, I can tell you, yeah, they are. The H-1B visas and these programs are going to foreign workers seeking skilled, low-cost foreign workers. Almost everything to do with the illegal immigration, whether it comes in the front door legally and then stays forever kind of thing, or versus the illegals who come over the border, it's always to get a cheaper labor force. And to me, that's one of the biggest exploitations of people that you can get. The nerve of these corporations and those who claim, you know, again, it shows the total lack of values and principles of what America has become, to try to undermine the pay salary of people. Now, I mean, just the fact that we already have such a high unemployment right now through other economic problems, the tendency is for the companies to pay less. They can do it. Now, they have the option to pay less. My bills haven't gone down. My expenses haven't gone down. Gas hasn't gone down. Food hasn't gone down. But because there's a surplus of labor, they can pay less. And when the economy is flowing, doing better, they still play this game by taking in the illegals or even those who enter legally through H-1B visas and these programs and paying them less money for the same job as what they would pay an American. So, yes, they definitely do discriminate against – corporations do discriminate against Americans. It's just more evidence of a total decline of American values and greed. When they say greed is the root of all evil, I believe it. Because there's no reason to be that greedy. A business can make money and still be fair to its employees and those kind of things. You don't have to go out there and constantly undermine. But then, of course, we have that crazy case out in California. Some lady who works for the state of California, making $400,000 a year, who knows what. Nobody can seem to justify what she does, I mean, for that kind of money. And she's going to have a pension of $400,000 a year plus a car allowance of $8,700 a year. This is what they're doing. This is what they're paying a public servant while we have corporations on the other side undermining the American labor pool by hiring the illegals or hiring H-1B visas who come in and pay less. And when we talk about the H-1B visas and the guest worker kind of things like that, people are all fine to say, and I hear it all the time, well, wait a minute, they can't. It's illegal for them to pay these people less money than they pay the average American in that same industry. They're supposed to be competitive wages for the same job, regardless. And that probably is the law. It doesn't matter. You take companies like this one, companies who really not only bring the H-1B visa immigrants over, foreign workers into the country, they go out there and then they help them find the jobs. They place them as a contractor. And when they do this, there's I've talked to a lot of H-1B visa workers over the years. So I'm not talking out of school here, and I do have some understanding of what these people go through. The companies that bring them in, who sponsor them in so that they can help them get jobs in various industries, they control their lives like you wouldn't believe. It's almost a semi-socialistic, communistic lifestyle. It's still better than what they had where they came from, but they undermine them and they pay them a lower wage, and they can get away with it because if a corporation or the company that's doing this, outsourcing, so to speak, of these foreign workers, say they have 20 foreign workers out there and they're able to pay them half the price of what the American gets for that same job, same skill set, same experience, and those kind of things, and then they get caught, then they'll get a fine. But okay, so by undercutting the pay of these individuals, which again is the expectation of these people, this is what cracks me up about Democrats or so-called those who pretend to care about the working class. So by undercutting the money they paid directly to them, they may have financially benefited to the tune of $500,000 over the course of a year. Okay? So over the course of a year, $200,000-$300,000, $500,000, whatever it may have been, by playing this game with the wages, then, good old government comes in, no, you're doing that wrong, you're not allowed to do that, that's illegal, blah, blah, blah. They don't shut them down. They give them a penalty. They get them a penalty so they get some money. And what's the penalty? $50,000, $100,000. Oh, geez. Okay, we made a couple hundred thousand dollars over here in profit because we did it illegally, and the penalty is $50,000, $100,000. It's the cost of doing business. And I was actually told that from one person who did that type of work. They say, we just see it as the cost of doing business. We'll pay the penalties because it doesn't matter. If they were shut down, then it might matter. If they were made to pay for whatever the compensation, they had to properly compensate these people for what they owed them and then had to pay a penalty, maybe it would change. But right now, the penalty is null and void. And you have to ask why. So I think it's very interesting that Marco Rubio, he is working with, and I think there's one other article in here that talks about it, if I can find it. Nope, okay. The other thing in reference to Rubio is that he's out there pushing his program, He's got a statewide caravan going on, and he's acting like this is all holier than thou, why he's doing this. But, it just isn't the case. It just isn't the case, not with Rubio. And those who prop him up for the GOP, again, you're all one big party. RNC plus the DNC equals progressive America. RNC plus DNC equals progressive America. That's what it is. And Rubio, He speaks very little to the Constitution. How many times do you really hear him talking or embracing the Constitution? He apparently stretched some of the truths about his parents and his heritage, how they came over and things like that. I've heard several different complaints about what he wrote in his book. I didn't buy his book, so I don't know. But the whole point is Rubio is he's pro-Latino, anti-American. Vote for Rubio, vote for more progressiveness, vote for Rubio, vote for Latinos versus Americans. And I remember putting something out there, it's like, you know, Rubio's out there speaking in Spanish, why isn't he teaching English? If he's pro-American, speak English. But he's out there as a pro-illegal immigrant person. He's out there pro-amnesty. And that's what his thing is all about. That's what this case is. I'm not going to go out there and claim that everything is perfect in our immigration policy, but I don't think anybody knows. How long has it been since anybody enforced immigration policy? How do we know that the current policy doesn't work when nobody enforces it? And why isn't it enforced? We have lots of money to give the world, but we can't enforce our own immigration policy. We have lots of money to give to all those around the world who hate us, but we can't secure our border. You got to think of all these pieces together, and going back to what I was talking about with the education earlier and stuff like that, when you put it all together, you have to realize there are antis who are taking this country down. And this Gang of Eight is part of it. And most of these people were, some were born wealthy, some have become wealthy by destroying this country. I think their wealth, what they have done to sacrifice this country and what this country means for their own personal wealth. And some of them, I mean, when you think of John McCain, if you were to ask him, are you a progressive? Are you anti-American? I'm sure he would say he isn't. But I said, but your policies do everything to destroy freedom. Have you not looked at the Constitution lately? Have you totally forgotten about what you went through as a POW, what you were fighting for? What was it you were fighting for, Mr. McCain? McCain, what was it you believed and what were you thinking as you were there as that POW? Were you thinking you were going to come back here and allow our country to be invaded by illegals, by terrorists as well? Because it's not just, I mean, that southern border, your town, your state right there in Arizona, you don't even believe in securing the border. I mean, you say you do, but you're going to do all this other nonsense about it. And haven't we already done this before? Wasn't there something like this back in 86? Grant amnesty and then secure the border? No. Secure the border, clean up the immigration into this country first, then deal with all those who are in here. Because you obviously just can't go out there. It's not like, at least not yet, you haven't put any kind of ID chip into them. Because obviously the illegals wouldn't have one anyway. But you don't have any way to easily identify them off the top. And that's the reason they're here. So, again, the attrition, the natural or self-deployment, I believe they would go back on their own. And let's see. My own personal belief, there's two things I think will happen on, regardless of whatever this crazy immigration thing is supposed to be. If the companies do not keep hiring them, do not provide them the work, many of them will go back. They won't have a reason to stay here. If there's no income, they will leave. On the other side, those who do make money, who continue to work illegally, very few are going to step forward because it doesn't serve their benefit. It's they get benefits now being illegal. They get so many benefits that many Americans don't get. So if you're not giving them full citizenship, which you claim you're not, why would they come forward and admit to being here illegally? They won't. I think that's the other part that's so interesting about this. Nobody talks about the fact, why would they come forward if they're not going to be granted citizenship and all the benefits of citizenship and all this granted this legal status when they've been living here for how many years without it? Why would they do it? And there are studies out there that show a substantial amount of them will not do it. And then there was also, it was Senator Jeff Sessions. I like Senator Sessions from Alabama. He was on Greta last night talking about the immigration bill. And the other aspect, which, you know, we're not allowed to see, you know, we're the peasants out here. We're not supposed to know what they're creating. Going out there and embedding things about giving them free health care and all these other things that they are not, that in theory, illegals are not entitled to. All the games they're going to play, granting these people all these, they're giving them all the benefits of citizenship but saying they're not citizens. Give them the right to vote. Give them whatever. It's just, the whole thing is so anti-American. And we have got to get it out there. We have got to be as loud as possible to oppose what these people are doing. Do not support or go along with the Gang of Eight's immigration reform. Contact every one of them. Let them know. And make sure you, as I was saying here, let me go ahead and put it out there. Marco Rubio, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, Chuck Schumer, Dick Durbin, Michael Bennett, Bob Menendez. Why am I having a problem saying his name today? Menendez. And Jeff Flake. They are the ones. They're the ones who are this Gang of Eight. Contact every one of them. Make sure you get in their face as much as you possibly can. Go out there to the immigration reform and sign the petition. No national ID card. You've got to remember the national ID card is a big part of this. This is all a way to control the people. We don't need a dog collar. We're not dogs. We do not need a national ID card, which is the same as a dog collar, a dog tag. This is what instead of calling it a national ID card, call it a national dog tag, because that's what it really is. It's their way that they can start tracking us and, once again, eroding more and more of our freedoms and our liberty. That is not the role of government. It is absolutely not the role of the American government. Now, if you're out there over in China and whatever else, okay. That's when you live in communism or socialism, you know, there's a different set of rules. But this is supposed to be the land of the free. And I had a show not too long ago and saying, is this the land of the free or the land of hypocrisy? John McCain, you're a hypocrite and a traitor. Marco Rubio, you're who you've always been. There's nothing different. You're an American of Cuban immigrants, but you are an American citizen. You were born here, but your parents were not citizens at the time, so thus you are not eligible to be the president. Please get over it. Please tell your idiots at the RNC that. But the truth is, you have always been pro-Latino, anti-American. That's what you did when you were the Speaker of the Florida House. 11 immigration bills. You're a progressive to the max. You're a traitor. You have violated your oath of office. I didn't vote for you back then. I will not vote for you again, or I would never vote for you to be reelected. And, of course, I would never vote for you as president. And anybody who wants to challenge that is more than welcome to. Anybody who wants to add to that. And Lindsey Graham, you are another one. I mean, I used to have a lot of respect for you. But you have gone, you are so afraid of losing your job. You're out there, you know, trying to woo the illegals, the Hispanics, because you think they're the same. You tie them into the same, put them all in the same bucket, same group. If you satisfy the illegals, you're going to get more of the Hispanic vote. And you know what? The Hispanics who promote illegal immigration, like the La Raza gang and these kind of people, These are the ultimate anti-Americans. The anti. What's the one guy's name? Ramos. They call him George, but I believe it's Jorge. But Ramos, he's always out there saying about Hispanics legalizing the illegals, undocumented. He calls them undocumented, and how much they provide. It's well proven. As an illegal, you're not paying any type of income tax. Okay, you're being paid under the table. You're not paying income tax. Yes, you pay sales tax when you buy something because you can't avoid that. But that's it. You're not paying your fair share of the taxes. You don't. So please, don't tell me they pay their fair share of the taxes. They don't. And why are they here? And what was it? Some reporter on some other show was just amazing. They say, gosh, the Tea Partiers on the extreme right and the right wing, whatever, they're making it a crime to be illegal. How stupid is that? It's a crime to be illegal. Illegal is criminal. What part of this do you not understand? But going back to the list here, Lindsey Graham, I give him credit for really promoting and going out about the issue of Benghazi, and it's the right thing to do. We should have the truth about it. But when it comes to this immigration and a lot of the other things he does these days, he is a progressive too. He is a progressive. He's willing to sell out the American people so that he can try to get reelected. He's willing to sell out the meaning of being an American to a bunch of illegals who do not believe in this country, who are here, who have broken the law. It's that simple. Now, I mean, when you talk about an illegal who comes over the southern border or any border who actually enters illegally from whatever border that may be, because we've had plenty of people come in the state of Florida off the coast via the water versus a direct border like between Mexico and the U.S. When they enter here illegally and you identify them, you're going to treat them the same as those who overstay the visas, or are you going to do something different there? Somebody who enters illegal, who enters legally and overstays is illegal. Those who entered illegally and remain illegal are illegal. What are you going to do with these people? What kind of status are you going to give them? A de facto amnesty? Amnesty outright? What are you going to do? And what does this do to our overall economy? And we all know as soon as that amnesty comes out there, that's when it's all going to be declared. They're going to come flooding in again, which is exactly what happened in 86. It's nuts. The Gang of Eight, as far as I'm concerned, every single one of you are anti-Americans. You're traitors. You don't believe in the Constitution. You violate your oath of office. You are the scum of this country. That's my opinion. And try to prove me wrong in a court of law. Yes, for you to go and do the things you're doing, to sacrifice the meaning of being American, to allow a invasion of this country, because that's what it is. It's an invasion. You're supposed to be securing the border, protecting the homeland, and you're doing just the opposite. You're opening and promoting an invasion. And those of you who openly are progressive will admit to it more, you're trying to destroy the very core of what this country is. It's so disgusting. So please make sure you do that. Now, the other thing I was finding out, the other one you want to go to the fair, it's check on their website here. FAIR, which is the Federation for American Immigration Reform. See, FAIR actually agrees we need immigration reform. However, they don't believe in amnesty, which is the right thing. And their information here, they said, Gang of Eight finalizes amnesty bills. Voice your opposition before it's too late. The latest news from Capitol Hill is that both amnesty working groups in the House and Senate, the so-called Gang of Eight, are finalizing their comprehensive immigration reform bills with an S, this week. Call your members of Congress today and tell them no amnesty for illegal aliens. And then it gives you an option to look up the members. And let's see, who else can we mention up here? Let me go ahead and I gave you the phone numbers to Jeff Flake and John McCain. Let's go ahead and get Rubio out there. Well, from the state of Florida, now the Gang of Eight, it's Marco Rubio. His Washington number is 202-224-3041. It's 202-224-3041. And then you can also go to contact Bill Nelson if you're here in Florida. He is also a progressive. He's the one we paid to send him out on the space shuttle one time. How many billions of our tax dollars did we waste on that? His number is 202-224-5274. 202-224-5274. Make sure that he knows you are against it. Again, it may not do a whole lot of good because he's a progressive too, but definitely with Rubio, he's part of that Gang of Eight. You've got to call his office. I have called and sent many things to his office. And when I do it, I blast every one of his fax machines. I blast his email. I go to him and I call every office I can. So he knows what I think. Of course, that's not to say he appreciates my opinion. Let's see. What's the other thing in here? Okay. And this, again, is coming off of FAIR, Federation for American Immigration Reform. Once legislation is introduced, pro-amnesty members of Congress are expected to rush it through the relevant committees and to the respective floors for a vote, giving the American people little time to learn about the contents of the legislation before they pass it. That is what is so evil about what these people do. This the ultimate of anti-American. You have to go and do the stuff behind closed doors. Forget this crap about transparency. These people are so evil. They don't want you to know. If what they were doing was right and it was the consent of the governed, you know us, we the people, the consent of the governed, if what they were doing was so right, they shouldn't have to run and hide from it. But they know it's wrong. They know the people oppose it, but they don't care. It's all about getting reelected, protecting their own interests, trash the country, destroy the country for some. Some are just self-serving and have no care whatsoever. And then there's that true, true progressive mindset that the United States is bad and we're going to take it down. We're going to take it down through an invasion just like this, the immigration invasion that's going on. We're going to take it down through the dumbing down of kids through public schools. We're going to take the children away. We're going to start mandating how children are raised. We're going to take that away. We're going to tell the American people they don't know whether they can have a 16-ounce drink or not, or where they can smoke cigarettes. All of the stuff, it all comes together. Massive, massive takeover and destruction of a free society. It's unbelievable what these people do. And the progressives, because the true progressives, and we talk a lot about Agenda 21, sustainable development. Remember, Agenda 21, sustainable development, is all about one world order, one world government. Those who believe in one world order, one world government, don't believe there's any borders anyway. They don't recognize the sovereignty of the United States, except when they're getting a paycheck from the government of the United States that we pay. They don't recognize the sovereignty of the United States. They don't believe in it. They believe in one world order, and all the peasants should be treated the same. So you're not truly a citizen of anything. You're a human on this planet. You're not a citizen of anything. There is no sovereignty because it's all one world order. And, of course, now they're not going to give up what they want for themselves. The elitists, they have already secured what they have, and they believe they're safe, even though in the overall scheme of things they would not be. Not for long. They might be in the beginning, but not for long. But they, just like Dianne Feinstein with her guns, she has a gun for herself, but she doesn't believe the rest of us should have one. It's the same kind of mentality where these elitists have gone out there and they said, here's what we're going to do. We believe in one world order. All the peasants should be treated the same, but I'm not a peasant. You know, they put themselves up in this elitist status. The rest of us are peasants, and that's how they're going to treat us. And so with the raw peasants, there is no national sovereignty. The borders go away. The United Nations rules. This is all part of this nuttiness. And so when you're that mindset, when you are progressive like that, then of course you're going to support amnesty. because you don't believe there's any borders anyway. It's all the same. It's absolutely all the same. Okay, and the thing of this is they want to make sure we the people don't know what's in the bill. They're going to play the same old game that they played before, and I have heard rumor, I don't know if I can find it in my emails or not while we're talking, but I have also heard, and you know, this. I believe this is going to happen. If this immigration bill, so-called reform crapola, amnesty bill, if it really is as bad as what we're hearing right now from the various people like, you know, Senator Jeff Sessions and, of course, Fair and these other groups and Ron Paul, the Campaign for Liberty letter and things like that, if it's as bad as what they're saying, and these people will read it fast. They'll be watching for it, and they will read it. They will I think there'll be a massive filibuster. Wouldn't it be great? And I'm telling you, this is the other thing. When you call these senators, even when you're calling the idiots like Marco Rubio or Lindsey Graham and John McCain, Jeff Flake, these guys, when you're calling them, say, you know, make sure you talk about that filibuster. And then we've got to go to the true believers of this country, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Lee from Utah, and, you know, the true believers, the people who believe in what being American means, believe in American sovereignty, who are not progressives, who are not antis. We have got to get with those senators and really encourage them to filibuster. Do that filibuster. Make sure this filibuster lasts. And depending, I'm going to have to go do some research exactly if five of them actually sign up for the filibuster, how it works and those kind of things, to keep a filibuster going the whole time. How long can we keep a filibuster going? Because we need to do that. We have got to get enough. I mean, just imagine if you had a third or two-thirds of those senators to have the backbone to sign up and be part of a filibuster of this bill, what that would say. They would have to back down. They wouldn't be able to do it. So we have got to really push, and I truly do believe, based on everything I've seen so far here, what little bit we're hearing, I should say, national ID card, Rand Paul, I'm sure, will filibuster anything that's got a national ID card in it. And Ted Cruz, I believe he would do it too. So we've got to, and Jeff Sessions, he doesn't like the fact they're giving benefits, citizenship benefits to the illegal or to these de facto, whatever they want to call it, illegals, amnesty, whatever, all the different ways they play games on the language. So, and I mean, I think that would be neat. I'm going to call Jeff Sessions, and I'm going to ask him to filibuster this bill. I'm going to call every one of them. I will call every or call, email, send, or send faxes, whatever I can, to as many of these senators as possible, and say filibuster amnesty. Filibuster amnesty, filibuster amnesty. That would be so, that would be, and with everything that just happened and the attention that it got when Rand Paul did this last filibuster, I think this would do it. So let's hope and promote filibuster, okay? Keep promoting that they need to filibuster this stuff. And let's see here. Okay. Does it look like I have my friend out there? Hey, look who is here. I've been flipping around on different web pages looking at stuff, and I did not realize that damn mad Granny Taft is out there. Howdy, I hope you're feeling better. Hope everything's okay. We missed you the last couple shows. And I know this is one of your favorite topics. Well, if you decide you want to chime in, you know how to hit that button and let me know. Anyway, going back to the information from the Federation for American Immigration Reform, okay, and, you know, they're going to do their best to put the bill out there, push it through so fast the American people don't have time to find out what's going on. That's exactly what what the plan is. That's how anti-American they are. You can't call it anything else. When you go out there and intentionally try to deceive the American people to push through policies against the will of the people, behind closed doors, you are a traitor. You are a treasonous traitor. And that's what this Gang of Eight is. And anybody who promotes pushing it through like this, too, because they'll have their other helpers out there. Okay, let's see. That says, in fact, the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee has already said he intends to proceed with comprehensive immigration reform with all deliberate speed and has indicated he will not hold any additional hearings on immigration once the Gang of Eight introduces its amnesty legislation. Is that not anti-American, anti-the process? You know, even if you have some kind of support for some type of amnesty, you should not support this kind of legislation. This is evil, anti-American legislation. This is violating every oath of office and any type of ethics or integrity or belief in the Constitution. When you go out there and this is the way you treat the American people. That's so disgusting. And then we have, what's his name? The other Senator, Patrick Leahy, that was him, excuse me. He was the chair of, he's the chair of the Judiciary Committee. I did not realize he was the chair of that committee, but yes, he is it. Comprehensive debate. Americans deserve, and of course, this is what Sarah is saying, Americans deserve better than backroom deals. Comprehensive debate, not reform. That's what we should be doing. But in the quote here, which is Patrick Leahy, I intend to proceed to comprehensive immigration reform with all deliberate speed. He said this on March 21st. So make sure you contact Senator Patrick Leahy's office and make sure you let him know what you think of him. He's anti-American. He's a traitor. He wants to shove the legislation through before the people know what's in it. He follows Pelosi's, pass the bill, then find out what's in it. Stick it to the people don't give the people time. Don't let them know because the peasants don't know what's good for them. We're all too stupid, right? Don't let the peasants know. We'll do what's right for them. Bloomberg will do what's right for them. Same old mentality. Okay, let's see. Find a meeting close by. Let's see. Call your senators. The Gang of Eight are purposely delaying releasing their bills because they know that Americans do not want amnesty and that if given the time to read and understand the legislation, it would have zero public support. That's what it is. That is exactly what it is. So I'm telling you. It's disgraceful, absolutely disgraceful. Let's see here, what else is on here? Okay. It's critical that supporters of true immigration reform call their members of Congress and let them know the American people won't stand for legislation written behind closed doors. It's as anti-American as it gets. It truly is. Let's see here. Okay. Looking at some other information. Okay. So we have got to go out there and do like we did a couple years ago. Get everybody calling. Go out there. Bring the telephone system down. That's what happened last time. Their switchboard was bombarded and it came down because we said no. And that's the reason why they have to play games. Exactly why they have to play games and do this behind the backs of the American people. And again, you know, John McCain and Jeff Flake, they're both from Arizona, the state right there on the border that has had so many problems with that border, securing it, and so many problems with illegals coming into their state, killing their people, raping their family, daughters, wives, everybody. It's just amazing that they can be this way. And I heard something, don't know what news show it was, something about McCain was down there along the border and he saw illegals coming across. It was worse than what he thought, or something stupid like that. I don't know. McCain, you've been there too long. And I'm telling you, you people of Arizona, if you're stupid enough to keep electing that guy, you're making the rest of us pay for it. Would you please wake up and not reelect that guy again? Please? We have had enough of McCain. The same is true with Lindsey Graham. These are all fossils. These most of these people in this Gang of Eight have been there way too long. Absolutely way too long. And let's see here. I'm going to check one thing real quick here. Okay. So please do that. Now let's see. What was the other thing? I was going to try and find that one other article on good old Rubio. Rubio hires lawyers who import immigrants to take American jobs. Yeah, yep. Let's see. You know, I think of Rubio and I think of, now why did people vote for this guy? Were they so clueless? Were they really this ignorant? Yeah, he's not as well spoken as people have thought of in the past. In the past, he was given a lot of credit for being, articulating his thoughts well and being well spoken, but now there's been all the jokes about the water. And then John Stewart was even making jokes. Rubio was talking about something and he was, I guess, wetting his lips or something. And then he makes some joke about it. Looks like he always needs water. What's with this guy? Which was actually kind of funny. Let's see here. What else? That was another article on the immigration I was going to check. But I guess the key point here, people, is please, excuse me, please make sure when you see the bill, if you, and no telling how many pages it's going to be and how, what's going on with it, what all is going to be embedded in it, how many different contracts to friends will be embedded in it. I mean, there's no telling. I mean, right now we don't even know how many pages it is. I mean, when you think about immigration reform, how many pages should it really take to reform immigration? And I contend, as I was saying before, who knows what's wrong? Who truly knows what's wrong with immigration today? Because no one enforces it. What part of immigration is enforced today? Excuse me. What part of immigration policy and law is enforced today? None of it. And when they talk about guest worker programs, just like this lawyer that Rubio has hired to help him write this immigration bill, that's what he does for a living. He brings in foreign workers. How many guest worker programs do you need? We've already got them out there. That's not what the problem is. The problem is there's no enforcement. You know, we have the 300 million people versus the 545. They sit up there and they make policy all over the place and they don't enforce any of it except what they feel like. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And, I mean, in the past, I've heard people say there was as many as 33 guest worker programs. I don't know how many guest worker programs there are, but I know there's plenty of them out there. And I mentioned a couple of them after reading that one article. And I've heard of the H-1B visa. That's been out there forever. H-1B visa was supposed to be bringing over higher educated technical individuals who had a better knowledge on some things, you know, bringing over the talented, high-skilled worker, I should say, not talented, but high-skilled, high-skilled workers coming over and under the H-1B visa. But they've changed that H-1B visa. They have literally, based on the reports, and depends on who you want to talk to, routine, or who you want to believe, that some of these H-1B visas are actually used for housekeeping at a hotel or service-level type jobs that were not of any, what I would call, any extra skill set, higher skill set. And so Americans don't know how to be housekeepers. We have to import job workers to do housekeeping for a hotel or servers in a restaurant. No, I don't think that's the case. They do it because they want to get lower wages for these people. They want to undermine what the American worker would do. But it's so, this is where, again, when we think of what Democrats are supposed to be, what they're supposed to believe in, protecting the rights of the individual and the working class and all this kind of stuff, why would you just be so passive about that kind of stuff? Why would you promote undermining the rights of the worker by undercutting them, exploiting illegal workers so that they can pay them less money while your working class, your middle class, gets taken to the cleaners? Why would you do that to the middle class Americans to support illegal immigration? Who do you support? Who are you out there fighting for? I mean, this is why the two parties are just, it's all one. RNC plus DNC equals progressive. That's what it is. There's truly, truly no difference in the party. And, I mean, I can't remember how many times we've talked about that on this show, but I find it interesting the last few days. And, you know, Glenn Beck has had his own frustration with the GOP plenty of times and said there's too many liberal progressives in the GOP and this and that. Of course, he was out there promoting Romney in the last. But he finally, he seems to be, how should I say, more adamant, more passionate in his comments today, in the last couple of days, to say that the fact of the matter is it's one party. But you know what? What I find even more interesting on that, before the convention in Tampa and all this other stuff, early on in the presidential campaign, who was out there saying there is no difference? It's one party. Who was saying that? Do you remember who said it? I do. His name was Ron Paul. Ron Paul has been out there saying it's all one party. It's the same thing. They can pretend to fight on the Hill, pretend that they're fiscally conservative, pretend. But the truth of the matter is they are all one big party. Exposing Demons has just entered the chat room. Hello, how you doing? Not sure if you were listening in via the internet. Have you been listening to this discussion about immigration, and what do you think about it? What do you, Exposing Demons, what do you think about the Gang of Eight? Go ahead and type in your comments there in the chat room, and I'll read them off, or you can call in. And you can call in. It's 347-857-4364. Make sure you press 1 if you want to speak on the air. And I'm trying to see if something's a little bit strange on my keyboard here. I'm trying to figure out if Damn Mad Granny Taft wants to speak. If you do, Damn Mad Granny Taft, put something in that chat room and let me know that you're ready to speak on the air. My switchboard's kind of doing something strange. But Exposing Demons, let me know. Both of you, let me know what you're thinking about what I'm saying on the illegal immigration, on the amnesty bill. And please tell me that you will be paying attention for when that thing gets released. That you're going to make sure you help spread the word, tell everybody about it. Don't let them play this game. And it's like, let them know that Americans won't stand for legislation written behind closed doors. And then this other, I'm going to reread this one thing again on here because it annoys me. This one section, again, this is coming from FAIR, Federation for American Immigration Reform. So there's plenty of people who believe in immigration reform, but it has to be good reform, not amnesty. Let's see here. The self-appointed gangs in each chamber are expected to introduce legislation the week of April 8th, upon returning from their two-week Easter break. So be watching. That's when they're going to hit. They're going to hit us with it. They're going to come busting out of the gates to do this. And then they're going to, and then the other part is, let's see, once legislation is introduced, pro-amnesty members of Congress are expected to rush it through the relevant committees and to the respective floors for a vote. giving American people little time to learn about the contents of the legislation before it's passed. Why do they have to hide on that type of stuff? Why do they got to cover it up? Okay, let me go to... Okay, well, I'm going to take the message here. Hey, Ms. Texas, you're back. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm better. Dr. Trenton told me in the hospital, so I had to sit down and behave myself.
Oh, okay, because I know the last time you were getting ready to, I think, have a procedure or something.
Yeah, I had the procedure and then had a bunch of running to do with my brother, and it just got me down so far I couldn't get back up. But I'm up.
You're what? Okay.
I say it got me down so bad I couldn't hardly get back up, but I'm up now.
Okay, well, and that's what we are depending on. Well, and have you been seeing this nonsense about the Gang of Eight?
Yeah. Ask me if it's a wonder I even have a television left. I've been sitting and wanting to throw stuff at it so bad. John McCain, I could have just slapped his head right silly off his shoulders the other day.
Oh, isn't he so disgusting? I'm telling you.
He's down there in the valley, and he's standing there watching these people climb over that damn fence, and he says, oh, it's protected. We've got this and that. And then he turns around and sees someone coming over. Well, you're never going to stop him. I'm wanting to jerk his head off.
Is that what that was? I heard different things about what he saw on the border, but then I didn't hear the whole story. So, okay, that's interesting. What an idiot.
I mean, you know, and someone has already come with tape. What they've got down there right now is a joke. It's half-assed. They haven't done the job. And that's because of Obama. He doesn't want the job done. They put out all this crap on the TV. Oh, they arrested so many immigrants, and they're sending them back and everything. What they're doing, they might send them back, and the ones they do put in jail, they're turning them right out faster than they get in jail. So Obama doesn't want the illegal immigration stopped.
No, neither did George Bush either. So, I mean, that's truly no different there. But none of them do. It's all superficial. You get a few, Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, I think will filibuster. Jeff Sessions, he's another one out there. I'm really looking forward to a filibuster. I think it's going to happen. What do you think?
Okay, I looked up filibuster while you were talking a while ago.
Okay.
And in the old days, filibuster was where a senator or a congressman got on the floor and they talked for as long as they could in order to hold up the vote. Well, in January, those brilliants up there went into a meeting and they came up with an agreement where if they threatened to filibuster, it would put the vote off.
Okay.
So they don't, but it didn't. I had not found where it told. I think they could, and I'm trying to bring this back from my memory from when I was a kid. Oh, God. that's got so many cobwebs on it. I believe they could sign up and each take their turn at filibustering in order to keep the filibuster going and not stopping. Now, with these new procedures, and my computer froze up and I lost what I was looking at, and I'm not going to take a chance and I'm undoing my fix job. It has something to do with they could require two votes or something. It's just a bunch of political bullshit, so pardon my French. So that the American people see that they did this because the American people would hear what's in these bills and would hear what the problem is and why certain congressmen and senators are against these bills, and they do not want the people hearing that.
Exactly.
So that's
why they're going to try to, if they threaten the filibuster, they'll postpone the vote. So they're going to try and keep them off the floor from going out there and saying what's exactly in it. Some of them can be out there threatening to filibuster while the others are out there telling us what's really going on. So it better work to our advantage so that we still get to find out what's going on. But I do believe there's going to be a filibuster on this thing before it's all said and done.
And then one of I read, and I can't remember the guy's name, he says, well, we may have to revisit the rules again on filibuster. You know, and they're saying, yes, there's going to be a filibuster. And whoever this person was says, we're going to have to revisit the rules again. Well, I think it's time we take these people. It's like I told my stepmother today. If the American people don't realize that that Constitution is sitting out there, it's still law, it's still ours, it's still there to protect us. If they don't get off their asses, and pardon my French because I'm mad and it's fixing to come out, off their asses and realize they do not have to take this crap. And quit being good little boys and girls and saying, okay. Because one of the things I read that's in this bill is that ID, that national ID that they want, it's
right.
Just not for illegal immigrants. They're going to use it for every citizen in the United States.
It's their excuse to go out there and give us all a dog tag.
It's going to contain all your information, all your history, everything.
It is. It's the same thing as some kind of sticking a chip in your head or something just about.
Exactly.
They want to control the people. This is all part of the Agenda 21 progressive one world order nonsense to go out there and control the peasants. We are a bunch of peasants to them, and that's what they think of us. And how can John McCain, Lindsey Graham, we won't talk about Rubio, how can these people do such things? How can they even promote or consider it? And did you hear what I was saying earlier, what the quote on John McCain was on that?
Yeah.
See if I can find. You know, the John McCain saying, sure, he's for it or whatever. I mean, it's like, it just amazes me that John McCain, a person who was a POW, who suffered, who sacrificed for this country, it's like, where did he go? What happened to him? What kind of Alzheimer's is he suffering from or whatever? I mean,
I think
it makes sense.
I think Obama, Soros, and the left got to him. They bought him. They've got him by the balls. That's all there can be to it. Because I remember the John McCain that started out running for president, and he is nowhere near today the man that was saying all those things when he was running for president.
Yeah, I saw him change during the Bush administration, too. His decline, to me, started back then, too. And wasn't he working with McCain on the other immigration reform back then or not? I can't remember.
I don't remember. George Bush, he is something I don't – his name has come to mean it being as nasty tasting in my mouth as Obama. And the fact that he's got a grandson – that's up and fixing to run for office just makes me want to puke.
How disgusting. How disgusting. Here's the actual, just for anybody else who maybe missed it earlier when I was talking about this, here's what it says, and this is off of the Campaign for Liberty newsletter, or it's actually a Ron Paul letter, I guess. In fact, when asked recently if he favored a super Social Security card that would have some sort of biometric thing like a fingerprint, John McCain said, I'm for it! Exclamation point. So this is John McCain. And I'm telling you, everybody that's listening, you really need to call John McCain, Rubio, Lindsey Graham, these people specifically, because they're the ones that are standing out in front of that camera more than anyone else. And in the case of John McCain, with everything he supposedly stood for, you got to tell him he's a traitor. Tell every one of them. I mean, Rubio was always a traitor. It's only the Floridians were too stupid at the time and elected him because he was under some Tea Party banner and Fox News liked him because the GOP liked him. But, I mean, Rubio isn't any different than he's been. Anybody that took the time to learn what Rubio stood for, he's no different than what he's been all along. He's been a pro-Latino guy and pro-amnesty. That's always it. But you know, John McCain and Lindsey Graham used to be conservatives. But they are the progressives to the max. They have totally been converted. With the exception of Benghazi, I don't see anything conservative about them.
No, I don't even know that Benghazi can be an exception because there's nothing being done about it. You know, it is amazing to me how they can drag their feet up there and get nothing accomplished. If that was you or I going to court and our attorneys were trying to do that crap, we would be buried under the jail.
Well, did you? I assume you did not hear the show the last couple weeks, or the last couple shows, I should say. The not Monday, but last Thursday, I was reading this thing about the 300 million Americans versus 545 politicians. And that thing was speaking the truth so much of what these people do up there. And it started out by saying it's only a politician can create a problem and then campaign against it. They're the ones who created the mess we have in every which way. And yet you got 300 million people who are taking it from these people. Why are the 300 million Americans sitting on the sidelines accepting this crap?
It's because over three-quarters of the 300 million Americans are not paying attention.
Yep.
They're too busy going to the beach. They're too busy going to SeaWorld. They're too busy watching racing on TV. They're too busy playing their games. They're too busy going out partying. They're too busy to pay attention to this country. They're taking it for granted.
They are. And all because they think that somebody there is protecting them.
Oh, they don't even think about that anymore. All they know is they've got a job, and this is America, and this is how it's always been. This is what they grew up with, and it's always going to be that way. They don't have to worry about anything. Let everybody else worry about it. I gave my stepmother an earful today. They are finding out. My family is finding out about UN Agenda 21 right here in my little town. They own 20-some-odd acres. Now, where they lived has been annexed into the city. And they're wanting to get rid of the house they got because it's too big and part of the acreage. And they're wanting to build them another home on that same acreage but in a different location, you know. And they have to go to the city to get permission to break out an acre of their land to be able to build them a house on it.
And it's so anti-American. And it's like, what did they say when they realized all that?
She really didn't realize it till I read the letter to her today and explained to her what was going on. And she's going down. She's going. The guy who surveyed their land told her this, and I had been telling her, and you know what was going on, and she didn't put two and two together. And today, they got the letter. They have to go before the city council and get their approval in order to use this acre of land that they bought, paid taxes on, and that they're taking care of. The city owns not one cockeyed dime of it. And I explained to her, do not go to that meeting without an attorney with you. Because the city has no right to your land and has no right to tell you whether you can and cannot subdivide your property. Now, if you give them that right, they're going to take it.
No.
And she looked at me and her mouth dropped, but that's going to cost money. I said, do you want to give up your rights as an American citizen and your rights under the Constitution of America for a couple of $100? And she said, well, I didn't think of it that way. I said, that's the only way you can think of it.
It is. And then when they annexed, and see, they do this around here too, and it makes me so mad. The city of Orlando, there's absolutely no reason to annex anything else into the city limits of Orlando. There is no benefit or purpose to it. I'm right on the outside of the city limits, and several times they've attempted to try to annex us. The only reason they do that is because they want more money and power. It's not because it's going to benefit us. Why? They're not doing it for that reason. It's not because a bunch of taxpayers all said, you know what, we really do like all the extra taxes and ordinances and laws and everything else that the city has above and beyond the county, so let's go get annexed into the city limits. But they do it in these sneaky, sleazy ways, and people don't even realize they're doing it, and then they're stuck in it. It's like, you know, It's just so, you keep wondering, how low are Americans going to go? I mean, we used to be people that had some kind of values and believed in something. And the exposing demons is out there. Yes, it's all for control. It's not for the benefit of the people. It's all because of these morons, the 545 politicians who are in office who don't care about we the people.
Well, you know, it's just like this amnesty BS. It's not because they feel sorry for these Mexicans or anything, and it's not just Mexicans coming over here, and I understand that. But it's not because they feel sorry for them and they want them to be able to work and they want them to do this. All they're looking for is votes.
Exactly.
And I get so mad watching these people on these damn TV talk programs using their power. I want a TV talk program. I want to go on TV and say, look, this is what's happening. And put it out there so that people can know it. But is that happening anywhere on TV? Is that happening in the paper? Is that even on Hannity and the talk shows? They're not putting it out there.
The only one I see anything real going on is on Glenn Beck. And I didn't see it today, but I was watching it yesterday at the 5 o'clock show. And he was out there talking about Common Core. And most people just have no understanding what Common Core is with schools and what's going on with that. So he's the only place I see anything real like that kind of stuff. Let's see. I was talking about that the 300 million people versus 545. Go ahead.
I got it. Exposing demons just. I don't want to hear it. The only reason Mexicans are doing the work they do in this country is because they come over here uneducated, unable to speak the language, and unable to do anything else other than clean commodes and dig ditches.
Well, let me, exposing demons is typing something in. I talked about this earlier, and here's the deal on it. The fact of the matter is the Mexican government is very corrupt. It's even worse than ours. More corrupt, and these people are treated like serfs. They're peasants down there. And after we shipped all the jobs down through NAFTA, shipped all those jobs down to Mexico, the hourly wage for the average Mexican went down. Here we ship all these jobs to them, and they still come here because of what the Mexican government's doing. But, you know, Americans don't seem to be mad about what the Mexican government's doing to their own people, which is part of the reason why they come over the border. So here the Mexican government is driving their own people out of there. They get more benefit from sending their people to us to send money back to Mexico, which is what happens. When all this talk about how much money the Mexican shoppers bring into the how much they assist or help our economy, the fact is billions of dollars that they make go back to Mexico, not here. And then the other part of this, which is what I was talking about more earlier, is that it's a disgrace, especially for the Democrats who claim to believe in the working class and everything else. Businesses, it's not a matter of that Americans won't do the job. It's that Americans expect to get paid a decent wage for the job. They can go out there and hire the illegals, undermine the cost by hiring the illegals, and put the American workers out. Yeah, I mean, some Americans don't want to do anything because they're deadbeats, and I know some of them. So, I mean, there are some that are deadbeats, but many, you know, if given a decent wage for the work, they will do it. So it's not a matter. And that was John McCain. That was one of his other idiotic statements a few years back, where he went out there and said that Americans don't want to pick cabbage or whatever his stupid comment was.
Well, this all started back in the 70s, or maybe in the early 80s. But this all started because American workers started complaining and crying and whining because they couldn't get jobs. They'd go to get jobs, but they wanted more pay than what they could work the Mexican for. They could work the Mexican for 50 cents an hour. And that's back when minimum wage was $3 and something an hour.
Well, that's it. It was always to undermine the wage of the American worker. It wasn't because Americans wouldn't do it, but they had to pay the minimum wage or a fair wage to the Americans, and they don't do that for the illegals. That, I mean, and that's not strictly the Mexicans coming over who are picking fruit or whatever, harvesting the crops. They do the same game, and I was talking about this earlier, with the H-1B visas that they bring over for their high-tech skills and whatever else. They do the exact same thing. They undermine it against the skilled people, the skilled jobs, American workers, because they want to pay them. They want to pay them less, and the pay is nil. You know, on the H-1B visa ones, the companies that go and bring these people over to do this stuff and hire them at these lower wages, they figure the penalty is just a cost of doing business. It's not a penalty; it's a cost of doing business. They benefit too much from it.
And I so when I have to listen to, they had a town hall meeting, and George Rodriguez, he used to be with the Tea Party. He's gone on to bigger and better things now, but he is a Mexican-American, and he is against this amnesty thing, and he's out there trying to educate the illegal as to what the problem really is. It's not that people hate the brown skin. It's not that they hate them. What it is that they want to come, like they sit there, we're being discriminated against. No, you're not. You're working. You're living in homes. You're able to go out and buy a car without a Social Security number. Now they're giving you a damn driver's license. How are you being discriminated against? Let me go to Mexico. Mexico won't do that for me. I can't even buy a piece of property and outright own it in Mexico.
Oh, but, no. I mean, the rules are totally different.
But yet they're coming over here, and we've got people who are selling illegal immigrants land. We've got banks that are loaning them money. So how in the hell are they being discriminated against? We have to hide in the shadows. Well, whose damn fault is that?
Well, because you're here illegally. And the thing is, if you were here legally and they had to pay you a fair wage like they were supposed to, they wouldn't be hiring you and you wouldn't be here. I mean, it's really, it's that simple. There was a, let me mention one thing real quick here. There was this other article, job ads, lawsuits show U.S. companies discriminating against Americans. Let me read this first thing. Some U.S.-based companies are discriminating against job-seeking American professionals and instead hiring job-hopping guest workers, including foreign enrolled in college or holding H-1B visas. So here, it's not even a matter of just picking fruit routine. Like they try to act like it's the jobs Americans don't want. It's not that. The skewed hiring is visible in numerous online help wanted ads and in a legal settlement won this month by the Justice Department. So, I mean, the fact is it's Americans who are being discriminated against because of the illegal or the abuse of H-1B visa programs.
And then there was a poll taken where they polls, and 65% of the illegals that they polled, even if they could become citizens, they don't want to. They
no,
don't
what's the benefit?
Become citizens.
There's no benefit to
them.
Hey,
why should
all
they?
The freebies without it. Exactly.
I mean, hell, they can come over here and get welfare and get food and get money and you know, be given places to live, get on the TV and cry for people to help bury their dead people, and it all comes flowing into them. Why should they want to be a citizen?
Well, are you watching what Exposing Demons is out there saying? Well, I want to know, Exposing Demons, tell me, what are you doing to shut it down? I know what I'm doing. I've been protesting it and making sure I make my employees, you know, I don't hire illegals or whatever, but I've been doing what I can to make my voice known.
And I know what I've been doing to make my voice heard. What have you done besides come on the computer and type stuff in the lobby?
Well, please, that's why I'm asking. I want to know what, not enough protesting. Well, it's true. I mean, if I didn't have to work full-time, I would definitely be out there protesting more. But I have definitely been to the state capitol and to the D.C. capitol protesting my complaints about what they're doing. But more importantly is, what are you doing to do it? Or what do you think about immigration? Excuse me. Exposing Demons. Are you pro amnesty or are you pro? Okay, numbers.
There's
I know
not
about
enough
the group numbers
getting together to protest, and I agree with that. But you have to start in your town, in your city, and build. That's all you can do because no one else out there is going to help you.
Yep. Yep. That's the sad truth. And it's going to be interesting. We're down to about 5 minutes here. What else? Any other stuff that you wanted to specifically mention before we wrap it up here? And let me see. Since you weren't able to listen to the show last week, let me just mention a couple of things off of here. I won't go through the whole thing, but this article about 300 million people versus 545 politicians. Have you ever wondered if both the Democrats and Republicans are against deficits, why do we have deficits? Have you ever wondered if all the politicians were against inflation and high taxes, why do we have inflation and high taxes? You and I don't propose a federal budget. The president does. You and I don't have the constitutional authority to vote on appropriation. The House does. You and I don't have the right to write tax code. Congress does. But anyway, this is the kind of thing, and I'll read it again at some other point. But it was just interesting, and then the very last piece of this, which is what I know you would like, it goes through this poem about the taxes, and it lists all these taxes, and then it ends up saying, still think it's funny? Not one of these taxes existed 100 years ago, and our nation was the most prosperous in the world. We had absolutely no national debt, had the largest middle class in the world, and mom stayed home to raise the kids. What the heck happened? Can't you spell politicians? And while this is talking about taxes specifically here, but it's talking about everything. It's the politicians who have made this disaster that we are in.
We've elected politicians who are willing to get money from the government to build a bridge that doesn't go any damn place.
All because they want to give money to their friends. They don't care about
that's
the
it. But there's something, and I'm not going to really get into it a lot, but I was watching TV Sunday, and I don't remember if it was on ABC or NBC or where it was. It is one of those shows that comes on after 6 o'clock or at the 6 o'clock news on weekend. And they were talking about a company, and I looked it up. It's called Pac Arab. Their mother company is Fatima Fertilizers. And this company is a company that's responsible for selling the majority of the fertilizer that has got the chemical mixture in it that can be used for the bombs, the roadside killings and everything that's going on over in Afghanistan. And they, under their breath, they said, and this company is applying to the United States to be able to bring their business to this country.
It should be a no-brainer.
And I'm going, and they said, it's being considered if they agree to change their formulation. And I'm going, what idiot is considering it?
Exactly. Who is considering it? Again, it should be a no-brainer. It's no. But these people are so greedy, it's not about doing the right thing for this country. It really isn't.
And you wonder why you want to sit there and throw crap at the TV. Or if I had the money, they would have me buried in jail. I would be in Washington. Oh, my God.
So would I. I would definitely be in there. And I'll tell you, you know, we talked a while back and Charlie talked about it. We need to have a massive march on Washington. When they get back and they start talking about all this stuff, we need to go out there and shut it down. Tell them, you're not going in there. You're not going to promote amnesty here. Forget
well,
that.
Well, you know, the first thing went through my mind. Here we've got Obama. He is a Muslim. Whether anybody wants to believe it or not, the man is a Muslim. He is also a communist. He has allowed these jihadist idiots into our country. He has brought them over here. And now, what better thing to do? Bring over the fertilizer company that's going to blow us up with it.
Exactly. What part of this do they not figure? We're down to 60 seconds here. We're going to keep talking for just a couple of minutes, but thank you for tuning in. Please tune in next week, and have a happy Easter. May God bless every one of you and every American, and God bless America. And we'll go ahead and talk for just another second until the clock stops.
I keep racking through my brain. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I keep coming up. If you had some money, you could do something, but you're broke and
Yeah, and then you've got the likes of a Bloomberg out there with his millions trying to do everything for you, too.
Well, he's got a God complex.
Oh, he is such an idiot. I'm telling you, we got to stop this craziness. Please, everybody, please get involved.
Well,
one
of the first things
we
got to do is stop these politicians from being able to retire and going out and becoming what are these people that go up there and talk people into doing this crap?
The lobbyists.
Lobbyists.
They get us both. They get us twice. I mean, they go up there and they rip us off in office, and they go and work for the companies on the outside and do the same thing. That's what John, I have no doubt that's what John Michael's going to do after everything he's done with transportation.
Of course.
Yep. So it's disgraceful. Well, we are officially off the air at this point, so we're just kind of talking here.
You have a happy
evening. Well, thank you. I'm glad to hear you're doing better. I was thinking about you, and I was praying for you, so I was hoping everything was okay.
Well, thank you. I knew you were.
Have a very happy and safe Easter. And we should have some fun on Monday since it's going to be April Fool's Day. What do you want to talk about on April Fool's Day?
All right.
We'll think about something.
I hear you.
I'm not sure what time you joined, but at the beginning of the show I mentioned next Thursday we're going to have the special on Common Core.
Okay.
So we're going to get into that deep. We got a couple of people who are big into the education stuff who are going to really give us an update on what's going on with it, so that'll be good.
Oh, good.
So you'll definitely want to hear that.
Right.
And then we'll take it from there.
Okie dokie.
So, well, as always, thank you. Appreciate your calling in. And
well, thank you for putting up with me.
I enjoyed it, and I will be hearing from you on Monday.
Yes, ma'am, you will.
Okay. You have a good night.
Good night.